As the 1980s were winding down and hair metal seemed to be all the rage, two supergroups emerged that seemed to break the mold. Damn Yankees and Mr. Big played versions of melodic hard rock with less focus on image and more focus on songwriting and musicianship. On this week's show, we pit these two masters of melodic yet hard-driving rock against each other. Who will be the victor? Tune into this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus to find out. Also on this week's show, welcome our very special guest host, Chris Thunderwolf Dodson from Wolf Customs. Online. Stick around, you don't want to miss it.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. And tonight we're going to be talking about Damn Yankees versus Mr. Big. A few shout-outs first. First of all, a shout-out to our affiliate, Rock Rage Radio. Go to rockrageradio.com. All right, and you can download the app and listen to great guitar-driven rock 24/7. If you love great guitar-driven rock from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even today, the place you want to go to meet the coolest music fans and some of the greatest musicians as well is you want to go to this place called LouLombardiRocks.com. It's an awesome fan group, awesome musicians group. Check it out, LouLombardiRocks.com. I always talk about our sponsor, Wolf's Customs. Well, Wolf's Customs is in the house. Chris Thunderwolf Dodson. Chris, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, man. Why don't you tell I always give the spiel. Why don't you tell everybody a little what you do?
To keep it easy, we just refinish instruments of whatever kind I can get my hands on. You know, I've got a specialty that's a hollow flash, which I can do on just about any flat surface. Keith, you know about this.
I have a drum.
Yes.
I'm gonna go. Maybe between breaks, I'm gonna go fetch it, and I'll maybe show it to the fans out there.
Show and tell time.
So there
cool.
You go.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, some minor repair. You know, I don't do custom building. It's just custom refinishing.
Awesome.
As of now.
Excellent. And you can find out more about the refinishings on musical instruments that Wolf's Customs does at wolfscustoms.online. And as you heard, we got the Hawkmeister himself, Keith the Hawk Hawkins. What's going on, buddy? All right?
Damn right. That's right. Damn right. You know, if things were any better right here, I would go insane.
Oh, my. Oh, that good, huh?
It's rock. It's rocking and rolling and whatnot. You know?
Did you play that gig, that outdoor thing?
Yeah, I played it. It was at a campground. There was no social distancing going on whatsoever. Matter of fact, and I think my fever has hit 150 today. No, it was a fun time. I'm sure you know that it was fun. A lot of people, jam packed, sweaty. I'm sure somewhere in that vicinity, a trailer park was dark and empty, if you know what I mean. But it's just one of the things where it was a good time. It was good to play in front of some people beside my bedroom window.
Yeah. There's been a lot of that going on. I got you, brother. All right, man. We're going to get into the topic here in a minute, but first we're going to start out with a band. We always play bands here on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, as you guys know. Last week, I did not get a chance to play Dead Man's Whiskey, so we're going to do it today. This is Last Train. We'll be right back to talk about Damn Yankees versus Mr. Big on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We'll be right back. Last train home, and I missed introducing the lovely and talented Miss Lily V6. Mm-hmm.
What the hell, man?
I know.
Damn, dude.
You're fired.
You should probably be first every week, you know? That should be the first thing you do every week.
I had Chris Thunderwolf Dodson on, and I got myself all...
He got real excited, yeah, like a puppy.
What was I going to say, you know?
Good old wet in the pants, huh?
I haven't done anything interesting other than being outdoorsy, which is not like me at all. I've been walking.
And Lily's wearing a dress.
I'm wearing a dress.
Yeah. She's all like dressed up.
But it doesn't have pockets. I'm a little upset about that.
Wow. That's crazy.
That's a big deal for girls. Sorry. We like pockets in our dresses.
Really?
Yeah, that's a huge deal.
I had no idea.
I like pockets in my shorts.
Right. Yeah.
In your underpants?
No, not those shorts. Other shorts that I wear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all we know why. Shorts.
You got to put your... I got a lot of stuff I got to carry around. My phone, keys,
wallet.
Stuff like that.
Wallet, money.
Drumsticks.
No, I only think you should have a wallet if you have money.
Gotcha. I forgot.
That's only for those of us.
I can't put it with money. Nothing to put in it. So, I mean, I can put my license in my pocket and then, you know, be gone with it.
All right, guys. So we're talking about Damn Yankees versus Mr. Big. And these two bands came out around the same time. Mr. Big predates Damn Yankees by a few months.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite a year. Damn Yankees had actually formed in 89, but did not release any music till 1990. But the first Mr. Big is 89.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you want to give us a little history, Lil?
Sure. And I apologize because nothing was working for me at work today. So my notes are on the phone and I'm blind. So I'm going to be like Nice. Going like this. So battle of the supergroups. So we're going to start with Damn Yankees. American rock supergroup formed in 89 in LA. They did only have two albums. In my opinion, though, I think they left a huge impact on people due to the talent that was actually in the band. So not very forgettable at all. Tommy Shaw, Jack Blades from Night Ranger, Ted Nugent, and Michael how do you say that guy's name? Cartellone?
Cartellone.
So it's super Italian. Okay. Super Italian. Their self-titled debut album went double platinum in 1990. And that is one of my favorite albums to listen to for anything, working out, driving, what have you. Jack Blades is the lead singer on Coming of Age, which was number 60. Also one of my favorite songs on the Hot US 100 and number one on AOR, which is album-oriented rock charts. For anyone who doesn't know what AOR is. Their ballad High Enough rose to number 3 on the Hot 100 and number 2 on AOR. And this was Ted Nugent's first mainstream top 10 single.
Yeah, a great big video. Really big video on MTV.
Yes. Their songs are on several soundtracks, including Gremlins 2, Nothing But Trouble, and The Taking of Beverly Hills. And they went on an 18-month tour after the debut album released with a revamped Bad Company, Poison, and Jackal.
Wow.
So that's
No. Jackal. I opened for Jackal one time.
Did you?
Yeah, I don't even know why.
Because somebody was paying you.
The second album, Don't Tread, went gold in 1992. Jack Blades vocalized the title song, Don't Tread on Me. Had tons of coverage at the Barcelona Olympic Games that year. The song The Silence is Broken was featured in Nowhere to Run. In 1994, Nugent left the band to go do solo again, and Tommy Shaw and Jack Blades became Shaw Blades. And then in 1999, Shaw Blades got together with Nugent to record a new album called Bravo. However, the band members and the record label were not happy with it, so it was never a thing. And then 2004, they reunited for Alice Cooper's charity show, Christmas Pudding. So that's some information on that. Oh, and I did get to see them together once. It was awesome.
Really?
Yes.
Where at?
Star Lake, long time ago.
So you actually saw Damn Yankee?
Yeah.
Oh, you suck.
Yeah. I've never seen them.
That's pretty wild. I've never seen them. That must have been a while ago. I mean,
I was super young, but it was very.
Yeah,
very
I would think. Yeah. Because I didn't see that. I didn't see that at all. So I never seen Mr. Big either. But so I'm.
I did see Mr. Big.
I remember just being very, very excited when High Enough came on, and I'm like flapping my arms like a little girl, going, "Oh my god, I love this song!"
Well, but you were a little girl.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would probably do that now as an adult.
Beth Pertinel is Beth. I slaughtered your last name. Beth is our next door neighbor too.
Oh, we have a neighbor too. We have more than one.
Lily is your neighbor, Beth. I don't know if you know that.
Hi, Beth. I'm your neighbor next to Lou.
So, anyways, Keith. So, what are your thoughts on the Yanksters?
On Damn Yankees. This band is. I was watching a little there's a 45 minute. Unclassified little short documentary on them on YouTube, which I actually got to check out. There's a lot of interesting facts about this band. I never knew. I mean, I gotta, you know, obviously go. The names of the bands are huge, except for Michael Cardellone, who was basically a young, upcoming drummer. He actually was playing with Tommy Shaw. That's how he got the gig, from what I understand.
And later he played for Skynyrd.
Oh, yeah, sure. I've actually seen him with Skynyrd. He's a good drummer. That's a very interesting setup. But yeah, the interesting thing he said in an interview was he was working a 9-to-5 job in New York. He was playing with Tommy Shaw when he could, and he was still, you know, doing the regular job thing. And then a year after that, he was in Damn Yankees touring the world. So it was kind of like this whole whirlwind thing. So that whole little portion of that 2 years of his life where he was thrust into the big time. But I think the one thing about this band that's very, ear catching for me, we'll use the term, Jack Blades and Tommy Shaw were meant to sing together. They were born to sing harmonies. Once they start singing together, I mean, Tommy Shaw is a great vocalist, and I think he can harmonize with anybody. But, I mean, everybody talks about, how great, vocals are. And, of course, the Beatles come to mind, Fleetwood Mac, et cetera. This band is up there with a lot of the top heavyweights. This band has some serious harmonies going on. And then Ted Nugent has his own thing when it comes to vocals. I'm not saying he's a great singer, but he can still sing a few tracks off these albums. But when it comes to Jack Blades and Tommy Shaw, those guys are right there, man, with harmonies. Just, I mean, that makes any of their songs catchy as hell, because once them two start singing, it's over with, man. You're sucked in.
They're so definitely pretty perfect together. I love them.
Yeah, that's them voices. I mean, you know, I don't want to say it's, you know, McCartney and Lennon, but it's definitely, you know,
it's like a reincarnation.
It's a match made in heaven, because they're just definitely meant to sing together. That's the thing about that signature sound of that band. And I think both of these bands have a very similar, you know, approach to music. Nice, straight ahead, hard rock. But I mean, definitely the harmonies, and not that Mr. Big doesn't have good harmonies, we'll get to that, but it's like the harmonies pop out and they're very, very, you know, just, it's awesome to hear people sing like that.
Do we have any information on how Jack Blades and Tommy Shaw became acquainted? I mean, I'm sure.
I don't know that.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna go off of what I remember off this little documentary last night. I think the band started from like somebody's manager knew somebody else, and Tommy Shaw and Ted Nugent got together first, and everybody was thinking that because I guess Ted was very like leery of it, because none of these people at the time were doing anything. Tommy Shaw was really on the outs with Styx, from what I understand. Night Ranger wasn't doing really much. And, you know, basically Jack Blades was sitting around just trying to make music with whoever, but it was like nothing really happening. Shaw did have his own thing. And Ted, you know, Ted Nugent is Ted Nugent. He's always going to do something. But somebody's manager knew Ted Nugent's manager, I guess, was Tommy Shaw's manager. And he got those two together. And they said it was an instant chemistry between those two, believe it or not. And then the Jack Blades things comes in later, because Jack Blades came in more a couple months later after they were writing had some ideas down, and Jack Blades instantly just melded with the band. So it was kind of like, I mean, you would say lucky, but it just, I mean, when you get talented people together, hopefully it works out. Usually it works out, sometimes it don't, too many egos, but in this case it all blended well.
Well, what happened with Styx? When their guitarist, you know, after Lady Broke, which was their big song, their guitarist at the time, just, he was married and had a family, and he just didn't want to leave his family. And so they brought this young kid in, this Tommy Shaw, and Tommy really got the gig. He is a very, very fine guitar player, but he really got the gig because of his voice and his songwriting.
Yeah. Dennis DeYoung always said that. He was like, Tommy Shaw can hit those high notes.
And he's really the voice of those background vocals when, during the Dennis DeYoung songs, it's really Tommy. So Tommy's one of those guys. He's like Michael Anthony from Van Halen. You know what I mean? It's just like got that great voice. I think that just really works well. You know, he's just been able to land those kind of gigs where he's just been able to just, it's really incredible.
He can just work it.
Yeah.
And he's a good guitar player too. I mean, don't really realize that he's a very good. I mean, he could play lead guitar if he had to in a band. I mean, it's just.
He did it in Styx.
He does with him and Jay White. I mean, they worked well together. You know, so but that voice, man, will take you places.
I know. So there's a funny story. We're all from the Pittsburgh area here, and there's a funny story that I heard Scott Paulson tell about. Donnie Iris opening for Damn Yankees. He was doing his encore. He was singing Aaliyah, and on the outro, you know, he's hitting that high stuff. He says, Tommy Shaw came running out of the dressing room and had to hear who was singing that. He was completely blown away with Donnie Iris's voice. So,
well, I mean, who's not?
Go Donnie. Go Donnie.
We had a little debate last week, not a debate, but a wondering of if Jack Blades is his real name. I can't find him under any other name but Jack Martin Blades. So that he's literally got the coolest name in rock.
Yeah. I mean, with a name like that, you were born to be a rock star, right? Night Ranger, though, has reunited.
I've seen him a couple times.
Yeah, and are doing things. Jeff Watson's not in the group, but... The Brad Gillis still is, and they are still a thing. I mean, it's never going to be pop music, But, you know, it is what it is. So what about these other guys that are on our roster this evening? Mr. Big.
Mr. Big, who I've also seen, which was pretty awesome. I've seen with Billy.
I saw Mr. Big as well. I saw them at the Jurgles.
I saw them at Chevy Amphitheater Station Square, and they were actually opening for Whitesnake, which was pretty cool. American hard rock supergroup formed in L.A. in 1988 by Billy Sheehan with the help of Mike Varney from Shrapnel Records. They had tons of success in Japan, and especially with the debut album, but not so much stateside with that album. Consists of Eric Martin, Paul Gilbert, Billy Sheehan, Pat Torpy, and Matt Starr later on, who was the drummer. After Pat had some complications with Parkinson's, he passed away, so they got a new drummer. They had several hits and are known for their musicianship. They have super strong vocals and harmonies. I do love Eric's voice a lot. He sounds wonderful. I don't like as many songs from Mr. Big as I do Damn Yankees. In 1990, yeah, the group toured America and opened for Rush on the Presto tour.
And I missed our tour, damn it.
And two of the songs, Strike the Lightning and Shadows, were exclusively released on the soundtrack for Navy SEALs, which I've never seen, but I hear people making fun of.
Yeah, it comes up as a joke, you know, Navy SEAL.
The second album, 1991's Lean Into It, was a major commercial breakthrough, especially the two ballads, To Be With You, which obviously was huge, and Just Take My Heart. In 1992, for Three Nights, they actually opened for Aerosmith at Wembley Arena. 1999, Gilbert left the band and reformed Racer X, and they brought Richie Kotzen in to fill his position.
Who's no slouch.
Right.
You ever notice whenever you need a replacement for somebody, Richie Kotzen just slides right in there?
He knows what's up.
Well, he's another guy like Tommy Shaw who's got an amazing voice.
He can sing. I mean, he definitely could sing, but he's like, I know it's very hard to replace CeCe DeVille, but I mean, you know, he's sliding in. He slid into Poison pretty good. But it's just, you know, as sarcasm is another service I offer to people.
You can replace CeCe, but you can't replace his crazy.
Well, yeah, it's true. Every band needs one crazy person.
Tension actually developed when Sheehan started touring for Steve Vai. I mean, I would tour with Steve Vai if I was talented enough. And the rest of the band sort of got mad and started writing songs without him. They attempted to fire him from the band he created, but then they agreed to keep going as long as there was a reunion tour, which happened. And then the band broke up in 2002. And then they started another reunion tour, or a farewell tour, excuse me. They started a reunion tour in 2009 with the original lineup. And I was actually able to see this show in Pittsburgh at Station Square, like I said earlier. And their hits, like I said, included To Be With You, which was number one in 15 countries in 1992. And then Just Take My Heart were the two biggest.
They have a remake. They also do a remake of the Cat Stevens song.
Wild World.
Wild World. They are cited as the band that started the big in Japan phenomenon.
Yes.
Because they were absolutely huge. Even their first record, which I love, Addicted to That Rush, is just like,
that was the first thing I ever heard by them.
Yeah.
It was a video of Pearl and Headbangers Ball or some stuff like that. But when I seen that, I was like, oh, they're coming out swinging, because it was all that like tapping and go down. Billy Sheehan's like two-handed tapping the bass and Paul Gilbert's all over the place. And you know, that was pretty funny.
It's an aggressive song.
Yeah, but that was like when they came on. Then all of a sudden you hear like songs like To Be With You and you start making fun of them. Then you're like, shit, man, they're making fun of themselves all the way to the bank.
I love that record. We did Addicted to That Rush in the band I was in at the time. And I spent many, many hours in a practice room learning Paul Gilbert's guitar parts on that. That's some sick shit. Chris, you a Mr. Big fan? You like Billy Sheehan or Paul Gilbert?
Love Billy Sheehan, especially when him and Vi were working together with David Lee Roth. If you're asking for one or the other right now, I'd have to go with the latter.
Okay. Yeah, that's really where Billy Sheehan was in Talas.
Yeah,
correct?
I saw Talas recently, yes.
And then that's how he came out of Talas. And of course, Steve Vai came out of Frank Zappa's band. And they met in the David Lee Roth thing, which I just heard Yankee Rose today on the radio for the first time in a long time. I heard on Hair Nation.
It's always on there.
I swear to God, I hear that song like every day if I'm in the band. That there's like two rock stations in New Orleans, believe it or not. That's it. And one's 92.3 The Alt, which is like mostly alternative rock, and then there's another one who plays like all classic rock. And every day they play Yankee Rose. It must be like one of the things where they just have it on a constant loop because this shit is on constantly. Every time I get in the van, turn on that channel, boom, one rock station. There it is. Here we go. David Lee Roth. Yankee Rose again.
Yeah, well, it's probably probably a hot track in that market. You know, focus groups, you know, they poll people and they find it. What are you going to say?
Well, we didn't have any rock stations when I was living in Miami, so every other song on the radio was Pitbull. So be lucky you have Yankee Rose on every day.
I remember when the song broke, DVE played it, and I remember that was the song. That was the premiere for as David Lee Roth as a solo artist, and just being completely like, oh, crap, like, you know, this is really something hot.
He gave the ultimate FU to Van Halen on that one. I mean, yeah. he upgraded through the entire lineup.
But Mr. Big, I really like the first record. I think that, I'm a sucker for a great pop tune. I think To Be With You was a cool band.
It's
no different than Extreme doing More Than Words or something like
that. Well, everybody has one, at least.
You know, it wasn't all that.
Everybody needs a power ballad, man.
Yeah.
It was a thing. It was a pattern after.
And I got to say, the guitar solo in To Be With You is no joke. It's really.
That's some real shit there. Yeah. Man. He does that little classical run at the end of that one. I'm like, and he like plucks the string. That's him. Cause there's no solos like that. You know what I mean? That's dope, man. For real.
And now it's serious stuff.
That's good shit right there.
I also do like Eric Martin's voice. And there's good vocals in that band. I saw them live at Jurgles. last year, and harmonies all night. Like everybody sings well.
They still sound good.
Yeah, they still sound absolutely great. Really, really enjoyed it. Different drummer. They don't have the guy from Skynyrd in it. But they got a different drummer. But yeah, I mean, great band. So we're gonna do a little bit more comparing, contrasting when we come back here. But this is a band called what the heck are these guys called? Oh, Shadow of the Cloud. We're going to come back in a little bit. And this is a song called Potion. We're going to come back in a little bit and talk a little bit more about these two amazing supergroups from about the same era. And also want to hit you guys up with a little history as to kind of what was going on in entertainment this time. You guys are going to get a kick out of some of the stuff. So we'll be right back on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus with Keith the Hawk Hawkins, Lily V6, and Chris Thunderwolf Dotson. We'll be right back. Hesitation laced with dread. Potion by Shadows of the Cloud. And we started the show with Dead Man's Whiskey. Let's give you guys the info on those two bands. Shadows of the Cloud is at shadowsofthecloud.com. That's easy. And Dead Man's Whiskey is at deadmanswhiskey.co.uk. And we're talking about Damn Yankees. So I want to give you guys some interesting fun facts. So, Damn Yankees, Mr. Big starts in 89. They release their album. They get out up front there a little bit before Damn Yankees. Now, in 1989, here were the popular movies, Keith.
Uh-oh. Good.
Driving Miss Daisy. Deadpool.
Love it.
Dead Poets Society.
Don't love it. you want my opinions on these, or are you just going to go?
No, I'm not going to review.
I'm
just giving you sort of like a little background, kind of what was happening in When Harry Met Sally had come out that year. License to Kill, Dead Poets Society, Back to the Future 2, and Ghostbusters 2, Lethal Weapon 2.
There's a lot of twos.
And Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Batman. So there was a lot of stuff like that. Here were the bands that were popular when Mr. Big came out. Depeche Mode, Garth Brooks, Phil Collins. So these were like those 80s bands that were all the Bangles, Madonna, New Kids on the Block. So these guys came out in the heyday of that, like, 80s pop MTV type sound.
I had that Babysitter's Club books.
And
there's toys too.
Yeah, there's some toys on this site here. We don't have to get into all of that.
Toys.
Yugo Cars Go Bankrupt. Ford
There's a shocker.
Ford buys Jaguar. Ted Bundy is executed in Florida. Crazy stuff, huh? Nintendo released...
The correct answer for that is, who gives a shit, Ted? You should have had that a long time ago. People were so damn elusive, you would have got that before that, but go ahead.
Nintendo releases the Game Boy in Japan in April, in North America in July. United States provide assistance to the Colombian government to battle drug lords. So these are some of the things that were kind of happening. George Bush Sr. becomes president. Partial elections in the USSR. So just some interesting things. USSR pulls out of Afghanistan. Just to kind of give you guys a little bit of a... put it in perspective as to kind of what was happening in the world, you know, at that time. Now, just a year later, there's an interesting thing that happened. All of a sudden, all kind of stuff happens on TV. The Simpsons television show premieres. Sci-Fi Channel starts. Twin Peaks premieres. The Milli Vanilli Duo's producer reveals the Grammy-winning pop duo were lip-syncing.
Which is odd, because most people today probably still do the same thing. So Milli Vanilli, they were at leg up.
They were ahead of their time.
They were ahead of their time. And when that one show,
Ashley Simpson.
You know, the tape started skipping, and next thing you know, they're like running out of there with their, you know, remember the video of dudes doing this? It's like you had a crazy idea that just backfired at the time. But who would have thought years later? It's mainstay in pop music today. Very good, Milli Vanilli. Good on you, man.
Here's some bands that were popular. Remember Maxi Priest?
I do not.
You don't remember Maxi Priest?
I remember Kylie Minogue.
Do you remember? Some of you might. You guys may remember this little ditty, "Ice Ice Baby." Remember that one? That was a big hit that year. Yep.
He never ripped that off. His was one note different. He said
it's not the same. It's not the same.
Tears for Fears were big that year. Rod Stewart again. Here's some of the movies that came out. Home Alone, The Hunt for Red October, Total Recall.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
I like Tears for Fears, actually, to be honest with you. I'll admit it.
Yeah, I think
Everybody Wants to Rule the World is one of the best pop songs ever written, and I'll stand by that.
Keith Wants to Rule the World. One World Under Hawk.
I'll second that.
He's working on it.
What was that?
I'll second that.
It's just a great song. I mean,
it is.
It's probably Bill Gates theme song at this point, but I mean, just a little. let's lock it into that.
Do you remember the weird movie that came out, Dick Tracy?
I do. Madonna's in it.
So a Warren Beatty.
And Warren
Beatty. Yeah, that was a very
he has to be the most overrated actor I've ever seen in my life. Seriously, what has he ever done that is good?
I don't know if I like him in anything, quite honestly.
Exactly.
The first in-car satellite navigation system is sold by Pioneer. The Space Shuttle Discovery places the Hubble Space Telescope in orbit. Interesting stuff, huh? East and West Germany reunite, including currency and economies. Hmm. Yeah, so earthquake in Iran kills 50,000.
Saturn what? Range of cars are launched.
Yep. So the premiere of Saturn cars. So, so this is what's going on. Oh, Operation Desert Shield, of course. Iraq, Saddam Hussein invades Kuwait, and we respond with the Desert Shield thing. So this is what's happening when Damn Yankees comes on the scene.
The Furby. The Furby came out.
The Furby came out. Yeah.
That thing was demonic.
So, I don't know. So here's the thing. Here's the thing with it. I got to give it to Damn Yankees. Here's why. Ted Nugent is in, joins like these two guys with these amazing voices writing this great pop rock. It's like something you would never. And just when you thought all those guys were like kind of like, I don't really think, Styx isn't going to do anything. Night Rangers kind of had it. Nuge isn't really doing anything. They all kind of like unite and say, give the world a big middle finger and say, ha 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 ha. They didn't just make an album. They made like an amazing album that we're still talking about 30 years later.
Right.
So I got to go. I think they nudge out Mr. Big on that alone. What do you guys think?
The songs are definitely better.
Yeah.
I mean, the musicianship isn't better. I'll have to go to bat for that. I think Mr. Big is better musicians all across the board. But that's,
technically.
Technically, yeah. But I mean, technically doesn't get you a number one hit, sometimes. But that Mr. Big, to counter that, Mr. Big had a To Be With You is number one in 15 countries, did we say?
15.
Yeah. And they were very big in the far East and in Japan. They were
they're still huge in Japan.
Yeah, they stayed huge for a long time.
Yeah, it was the same Japan as Citizen Dick, with Matt Dillon, their lead singer in singles. Citizen Dick was huge in Belgium.
Yeah, but dude, like being big in Asia is a thing.
Touch Me, I'm Dick was triple platinum era. Okay. I don't know. If you just ask, you got to see the movie.
What I think is cool though is the fact that this is where Richie Kotzen and Billy Sheehan kind of first form a kind of relationship, and then a few years later, about 10-15 years later, you have Winery Dogs, which I think is awesome. I know you're not a big Mike Portnoy fan, but
well don't say that because I don't want drummers coming headhunting now.
But man, I think Winery Dogs
a lot of people that are just uneducated know to think that he's a effing drum god, and I'll throw my drums on the steps, and that'll be my
Winery Dogs is a very cool thing. So I mean that's cool, and also Mr. Big is a great rock band. I mean,
they write good songs.
Because their songs didn't quite resonate in terms of big pop hits the way that Damn Yankees did doesn't mean that they couldn't write a song. I mean, I think their first album is full of cool tracks. Lily, what do you got?
Damn Yankees is going to be my vote, just because of the names in the band, and I really love Nugent's guitar riffs for a lot of the songs. I've seen them both. I love them both, but I'm going to give the edge to Damn Yankees on this one. I've always loved them.
Chris, what's on your mind, brother? What do you think about the situation?
Damn Yankees. I like them both, obviously, just like most of you guys do. I like more of their songs than the other.
Cool. Okay. I think that's kind of...
It's a wash.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much straight. There's a couple things I want to talk about before, since we're wrapping up on this stuff. On this day... In 1966, the Beatles recorded Yellow Submarine.
Oh.
And thank God for that. Ringo finally got his due. His friggin' due.
Recognition.
Thank you, Ringo. Are you a great singer? No, but you put that shit out there, and but that's good, it. Buddy. Give the drummer something to say with the.
You did that psycho shit with the Yellow Submarine.
let's see. Tragedy 1974 on this day, Keith. Tragedy struck. Listen to this, dude. At a David Cassidy concert in London's White City, when over 1,000 fans had to be treated by first aid workers due to frenzied excitement.
They got the frenzy over David Cassidy?
Yes, one fan, Bernadette Whalen, died.
Dude,
from heart failure.
I'm telling you right
later.
Now, never underestimate the power of stupid people in large numbers.
They caused a frenzy. I love that.
Keith Parker's comes into your town, you're going to be ready to rock, man. That's all I got to say.
I'm going to hide.
I'm telling you, man, like that was the era, man, of those heartthrob kind of guys. They would get up there and the girls would just lose it.
Oh, I remember like one time there was this Leif Garrett show down in Pittsburgh, and he was snorting coke off a stripper's ass, and he just caused a whole frenzy. It was ridiculous.
He did that often.
Yeah.
Now check this out. This is interesting. On this day in 1990, for the first time ever, top five positions on the U.S. singles chart were all held by female artists. Madonna was number one with Vogue. Hart was number two. Sinead O'Connor was number three. Wilson Phillips number four, and Janet Jackson number five.
Ooh. Damn, that's some heavyweights there. Huh?
The women took over that
Yeah,
year.
Yeah. That day, they were on 26th of May, 1990. On this day in on 1994, Michael Jackson married Lisa Marie Presley.
That joke.
Which is a hoax, I think.
A fire at the on this day in 96, a fire at the home of Eric Clapton caused over £1.5 million worth of damage. Oh, here's one for Lily. On this day in 2000, drummer Tommy Lee was jailed for 5 days for drinking alcohol.
That's something, huh? He's done worse than that.
Why is that? I mean, the drinking all that illegal.
I read. Well, he was on probation. Yeah. You're not supposed to drink when you're on probation.
I know that better than anybody.
Yeah. I've never been on probation.
I have. It sucks.
Wow. Really? What were you on probation for?
That's not important.
Yeah, I think we all want to know.
DUI.
Oh my God.
If I would have got caught drinking after that in a bar during my probation, I would have gone straight to jail. Actually, yeah.
Now this is interesting. I did not know this. This is some controversy surrounding the death of B.B. King. On this day on May 26th of 2015, U.S. authorities were investigating the death of blues legend B.B. King after two of his daughters claimed he was poisoned.
Interesting.
Karen Williams and Patty King said the musician had been given a foreign substance to induce his premature death by his business manager.
Really?
So, yeah, he died. He was 89 years old. There doesn't say anything if anything ever came of that.
We'll have to Google that later.
Yeah, that's weird. Okay, we have some birthdays.
The Brad Pitt, he probably ate for 70 years, but that's a whole other thing.
Check it out, dude. This is the birthday of Miles Davis.
Oh.
Congratulations, Miles. Yeah, man. You are one of the musical legends of our time, a true musical legend of our time.
It's Stevie Nicks' birthday, too.
Stevie Nicks' birthday?
Another true musical legend.
Hey, Keith, you'll love this. It's Levon Helm's birthday. Ain't that
One of my faves, man. One of my faves. Best singing drummer of all time. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The best groove ever. People will say, oh, Phil Collins. But Levon had a nice, just a nice, simple, tasteful groove. A cool voice, man. It's just, I don't know, he's my fave singing drummer.
It keeps going. Lily said, Stevie Nicks. It's also Mick Ronson's birthday.
It's everybody's birthday.
This is a great day.
It is a good day.
It's a great day.
Hank Williams Jr.'s birthday is today. Holy
damn.
God.
Lenny Kravitz.
It just gets better and better.
Lenny Kravitz's birthday is today.
Another one. A very, very cool musician. Yeah, Lenny's cool.
And that's pretty much it. Everybody else is like nobody we care about.
Damn.
They're just a bunch of schmucks. So Ludini Rock and Roll Circus is what you guys have been listening to. Chris Thunderwolf Dodson was hanging out with us today. We do appreciate that, Chris. Hey, so what do you got any projects in there you're working on now, or are you kind of chill with the whole thing going on?
Oh, I'm still working my full-time job. I had one project that started a few months ago, and the bar there's going to be a bar guitar to show off what they supported, you know, like Darts, Cubs, Bears.
Okay.
I'm a Pittsburgh fan.
Yeah. Somebody say Cub.
You know, but I'll take it on, you know. Once I saw that they were going to be selling their establishment, I reached out and asked them if they wanted their deposit back or wanted to keep going, and they want to keep going. So
okay.
I've got that one still going on now. So that, and I'm just, I've sold out my second batch of can koozies. Got a third batch coming. always doing. There it is.
Yeah, there it is. The kid's holding up the drum that Chris did for him. It's very cool. Very nice.
Y'all see this? This is artwork done by the man talking.
Yeah. From our boy the Hawk.
That's right. This drum's sounding good and looking good.
And if you guys,
I wish I could do both of them myself, but it's a little harder for me.
If you're looking for, if you're interested in getting an instrument custom refinished, please go to wolfscustoms.online for more information from Chris Thunderwolf Dodson about everything he's got going on. Keith, what's going on in your world, brother? What do you got coming up this week? Anything?
No.
No.
Wow.
No.
I do have a little, just to get to the topic one more time, we have a little common thread between these two bands, to be honest with you. Pat Torpe was the drummer for Mr. Big, correct? Pat Torpe also played on a Ted Nugent album, just to say.
It's always intertwining somehow when we do the verses.
Oh, yeah. Those guys all know each other. That's when my agent will call your agent, we'll have lunch, and next thing you know, they got a gig, you know?
Yeah.
I love that, though.
Well,
there's
a lot of great stories about this band and that band were in the studio at the same time. So-and-so came over here and played on this track. And there's a story about that with Taking Care of Business, about that piano part. There was another band in the studio, and they kept on saying it needs a piano, and BTO didn't want a piano, but the producer went and grabbed the piano player from this band. It was in the next studio, and they laid down this track. The rumor on that was the pizza guy is not true. That is not the pizza delivery guy playing piano.
I've heard that.
Yeah, that's a famous rumor. It's absolutely not true. But yeah, so there's a lot of that going on. One I didn't mention was in 1964, a Marianne Faithful recorded As Tears Go By, the Jagger Richards song, accompanied by Jimmy Page on guitar and John Paul Jones on bass. So
never heard of
them.
Not a fan.
don't even know who that is.
It's talking about guys like kind of like intermingling and, you know, hooking up with each other. Stu played a show too this week, Keith. He played a house party.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, matter of fact, I could probably use Stu from time to time because bass players down here are just a little flaky.
What is it with bass players?
It's the bass player.
Yeah, man. Geez,
it is. Hey, it's never me. I mean, come on.
No, I know. I agree. Trust me.
So
bass players are just, there's something about bass players in New Orleans are just either the really good ones you're not going to get. But if you got to get you got to pick from the crop that's hanging around, the availability.
There's a reason,
I guess,
why they're available.
you when you play a gig or two of them, you're like, yeah, you're a freaking idiot.
So, a group of bass players is called a flake.
Ooh, exactly. Good one.
Man, where'd you get that from?
I just pulled it right out of my butt, honestly.
So what do you got going on, Lily? Anything?
I have nothing going on this week, unfortunately. My show will be Thursday, though, 6 to 8 on PM Eastern on rockrageradio.com, or just download the app and you can listen to it there for free.
Download the app.
Download.
It's all about them apps. We had some great music as well on today's show. And let me review that for you real quick. We started out with Dead Man's Whiskey. You want to go to deadmanswhiskey.co.uk. Then we played Shadows of the Cloud. Shadows of the Cloud, one of the members, and I apologize, I'm sorry, is in part of our group at lulombardyrocks.com. And he says, hey, check out my song. And I'm like, your song is awesome. We're going to play it. So shadowsofthecloud.com to get more information. We're going to get out of here. We're going to play a track that Keith and I play together on. Since Keith's on.
And
so you guys enjoy it, man. If you want more information, you want to get with the coolest rock people ever, please go to lulombardyrocks.com and check it out. If you need custom work done on an instrument, please go to wolfscustoms.online. And if you want to listen to great guitar-driven rock 24/7, please go to rockrageradio.com. Download the app and just rock the F out nonstop. Right, Lily?
Always.
Chris, take care, brother. Hey, Chris, hang out for a few minutes. Keith?
Okay, will do.
Good seeing you, man. I'm glad you were on tonight. Stick around.
Thank you for having me.
Six, everybody. We'll be, this is Where Have All the Acid Queens Gone. We'll catch you all in the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.